I wanted to, the reason why I'm back here, I came back here last night from the retreat. And in past retreats, what we did was we'd get one of our members or one of our guest preachers to come preach, and the pastors would stay at the retreat. But this year, we wanted to do something different. We wanted one of the pastors to come back because we cannot take you through the entire retreat, but we thought we could at least share some elements of it with you so that you get to experience some things also, even though you can't be there, but at least we have some continuity and consistency there, all right, so that, you know, nobody feels left out in the process, okay? And it's interesting that, you know, the theme of a retreat is a new thing. And because that was what we were sensing God calling us to as a church, as a faith community. And part of it was discerning together as a community what those many new things are, actually. And interestingly, as John has prayed just now, it is Pentecost Sunday. And on Pentecost, the Spirit came and did an absolutely new thing in the upper room. The Spirit came and moved like a mighty wind among the disciples who were scared and fearful and wondering what the next steps would be. They were lost. I mean, Jesus had resurrected, ascended, but they still were trying to make sense of what all that is. They were afraid that they would go the same route as Jesus because the authorities were kind of after them. And they were all hiding in the upper room, uncertain, afraid, not knowing what the future holds. But the Holy Spirit came in that very moment, blowing through each and every one of them, and they all rose up in a mighty voice. And that's when they started hearing people speaking in many different languages, proclaiming the greatness of God. And from that moment, everything turned around. The people stood up, walked up, and they said, "We'll go to the ends of the earth, and we'll bring the gospel, the good news to them." And so I wonder if this is a bit of that turning point for us as well. We are uncertain, we are scared, we wonder what the future holds, but we are excited because we know who we belong to. We know who God is, and we know the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us. And that's something that we felt throughout the retreat as well. I mean, the leaders' retreat was moving in a lot of ways. There was healing and reconciliation and different things that we were doing that time. Difficult things as well that we had to talk through. But we sense the Holy Spirit moving. And so I want to invite you to just attune yourself, attune your spirit to God's Spirit and ask God, what is it that you are speaking to me about in my life? And as you do that, I want to read you this passage from Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. God who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. That they may proclaim my praise. So this morning, I wanted to do something slightly different. We're not going to just do a kind of a typical sermon. I wanted to also kind of invite you into a reflection process later on in the second half. It was an activity that we did together during a retreat as well, and so I wanted to invite you into that space too. And so what I'll do is that I'm going to share a couple of thoughts with you based on this passage, and then I'll invite you into a time of some reflection, okay? You know, when you look at this passage, the first question I asked myself was this: Who is saying this? And what is God's credibility in saying this? We know that Isaiah was basically proclaiming, right, what God was wanting to say. And so he said, this is what the Lord says. You know, God who made all this, forget the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. So God is saying this. But what gives God the credibility to say all this? Right? Questioning God, right? But it's an important question, right? I mean, like, we need to ask. So I want to bring you back to verse 1 of that passage. Because when I read that, that was in the middle of the passage, right? From verse 16. But if you go back a little bit to verse 1, it says, the God who created and formed you. The one who's speaking is the God who created and formed you and me, who formed us. That is God's credibility. Because God created you and me. God knows us in and out. And then it follows through with all that God had done for the people of Israel. How he had taken them out of the desert. How he had rescued them into the promised land. And so not only has God created and formed us, God actually has a track record of making a way for us through the sea and the mighty waters of life. So I wonder for you, if you think back on your life, has there been difficult moments that God has brought you through? Has God proven faithful? Does God have a track record in your life in some way? Now, the second thing I ask myself is, in this passage, what is God asking us to do? He says many, many things, but two words stood up for me. And the two words were, forget. Forget the former things, do not dwell in the past, and see. See. I am doing a new thing. See. Open up your eyes and see. I wonder if it's actually so easy to forget. And what is God asking us to forget? Because obviously there are important things for us to remember, right? You know, earlier on we were talking about God's track record, right? Remembering how God has been faithful in your life in different ways. So obviously there's a space to remember things, to remember the good things, the helpful things. But obviously there are actually a lot of things in our lives that would benefit us to forget, to let go. Have you ever had things in your life that has held you back? Maybe there were certain beliefs that you had about yourselves that was not helpful. Things like, for example, I'll give my own personal example. Lah. I won't share Sugate's example or Jonathan's example. Lah. Not that I know. Lah, huh? Like when I was growing up, I realized that people around me was very important. Harmony was very important, right? And you can tell, it's my personality, right? Ah, yes, everybody happy with each other, yay, 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 you know? And so, unconsciously, I would strive to make things good among people, right? Between me and other people, or between people and people, that kind of thing, right? It can be helpful at times, but can also be very unhelpful at times, right? And I realized as growing up that, hey, I cannot please everyone. Right. Even though I have this tendency to please people in order to make things work. Right. And I had to learn, to relearn how to engage with people in a way that would allow me to be in touch with who I am, what I want to say, my opinion, and to be able to put my truth out there as well in the midst of trying to help things get along and to help harmony abound, right? And so I realized that there were things about me that I needed to put aside. Maybe forget. Maybe do not dwell on the past, right? To allow God to change certain parts of me so that I could engage at a better level with others. At a healthier level also for me, and a healthier level for other people. So I wonder if there are things that God is asking us to forget, meaning things that may have been very hard perhaps for you, you know, even growing up, or even in your life, things that you've been through. And maybe along the way, bitterness has come up. Along the way, resentment for many of us. Many things come up for us. So part of it, I feel, is the discerning process, right? It's not saying that, yes, I can forget everything that everyone has ever done to me, but keeping the things that are important, learning from it, and then putting aside the things that may not be so helpful to us. You see, even in among the Jews at that time in Israel, God was asking them, reminding them, said, remember all the things I did for you. You know how I took you out from Egypt. I brought you through the desert. And so the people could have remembered different things. Either they can remember God's faithfulness and say, yeah, God, you brought us out of Egypt. You brought us through the desert. You actually brought us into the promised land as you said. Or the people could focus on, but God, you let us wander for 40 years in the desert. Very hard, you know. Like, we wanted to go back to Egypt already by that time, you know. And it was a hard journey for us. It was such a long journey. Why did you let us wander for so long? Why couldn't you have just let us into the promised land earlier? Right? Have you had parallel experiences in your life where you ask God, why did you allow that to happen? Why so long? Why did it take so long? So what we choose to remember and what we choose to forget are important. What we choose to see of God is important. And so God was calling the people at that time. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? And my question to God was, why should we do that? Why? Why should I forget the former things? Why should I be trying to perceive what you're doing in this time? And I'm reminded that it's because God is the one who makes the way. God is the one who makes a way for us in the wilderness of our lives. God is the one who provides. It's not me. I was not the one who made the way. I had to take steps. I had to make choices. I had to do something. But ultimately, God was the one who made the way. God was the one who provided. And ultimately, when God has done all that, actually all that we are called to do is to proclaim God's praise as we look back at all these things. So that gave me something to think about because it put me in my place. Why should I start to perceive what God is doing in my life and amongst us as a community? Why should I forget the former things? Why should you? Because God is putting us in our place. God is reminding us that God is the one who makes the way, and God is the one who provides, so that we as God's people can proclaim God's praise. So, the past is not easy to put aside. So it's a very fine line, very thin, right? Have you ever met people who told you, and urge you, just move on. Get on with your lives, lah. Why cannot? Huh? Break up, ah? Yeah, easy, lah. Move on to the next person. So many people, you know. Actually, not really, lah. The dating pool very small. But the reality is that sometimes we try to push on and forget in a way that is not possible. Right? It's not about that. But it's about us making sense of what God is doing in that moment. Being able to put it down, and to put it aside and say, okay, God, I see this. I'm going to remember some of the lessons I'm learning from this. I'm going to remember what you are doing in this and teaching me. But I'm also going to forget some of these things in terms of how it's affecting me. I'm going to put it down. I'm going to move. Okay? And one way that God is encouraging us to do that is to start to focus on the now. You know, as human beings, right, we are often, our brains, right, are often wrapped up in the past. Yeah, we're thinking about, yeah, what that person said to me or that day, Janelle said that to me, no. Them hurt me, very sad, right? Oh, yeah, you know, last time my mama, you know, she always say this, my dad, you know, did this, you know, or, hey, last week my boss, he said my this are not very good, criticized me, And then we have a lot of thoughts going in our minds from the past, right? It's subconscious. It's not really something we deliberately think about. It just kind of goes around our minds. So either our minds are very preoccupied with past and or the future, right? What am I going to do in 5 years' time? You know, what if this happens? What if I cannot, right? And we are worried and anxious, uncertain about the future. So our minds are often waffling between the past and the future. And very seldom are we actually in the present. But the present is actually all that we have. The now that God is talking about, now it springs up, now. The now is actually all that we have and all that we really have control over at this moment. We can't really go back to change the past. I mean, the past has passed, right? Affects us still, yes, but the past is past. Whatever we have to resolve, whatever we have to do, we do, right? But we can't change things. We can't change anything in the future. It hasn't happened yet. We can try to influence the outcomes of certain things. But still, everything is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we know that we are here now. We know that if we can focus and pay our attention on what God is doing now, we can stop being preoccupied with the past. We can stop obsessing about the future and start to perceive now. So we have been given this task to forget the unhelpful things, to remember the helpful things of what God has done for us, to focus on the present, and then to perceive what God is doing. Because unless our attention is on the now, we cannot perceive what God is doing. And I say this for us as a community, okay? Because it cannot be that it's only me trying to focus my attention on the now and then I try to perceive what God is doing. I mean, that's important. I need to do that. But we need to do this together because we believe in discerning as a community. We don't do a lot of things top-down, all right? We don't say, okay, I've decided it's going to be like this, all of you follow. We believe that the Holy Spirit is leading us together as a community. And so I'm inviting you to come in this space of being in the now and seeing together, all of us together, seeing what God is doing, perceiving in our spirits what we are to do in response. And so to help us in this process, right, I have a couple of reflection questions that I want to take you through. During the retreat, you know, we had like booklets, right, where people could kind of write notes and stuff. And we didn't want to waste paper, so we didn't print out paper here, lah. And I know that a lot of you have your devices that you like to type in. But if you like some paper and pen because, you know, you're a scribe, and it helps you to write, you know, and it helps me sometimes to write things out, we'll provide some paper and a pen for you to write. So I'm going to invite you into this time of reflection. Yeah, I'm going to take you through a few questions. And this has to do with you, okay, in your own life first, okay? And then we'll start from there. And later on, right, in the weeks to come, we will come together as a community to figure out some things, okay? So we had this session called All Things and New Things, okay? And I want to invite you to reflect on, one, what was a notable event in your life in the past 6 to 12 months? Okay? Just think of one thing. Something notable, something that perhaps has changed your life in some way, influenced you, affected you. Ah, yes, I know, I see. if you all know Clara and Ishan, they actually got married very recently, and we were at their wedding, and I'm very excited for them. So you can congratulate them later, okay? Because some of you may not know that they got married. Yeah. And that would be a notable event, for example. But for those of you who didn't get married, it's okay, ah? You don't have to use the example. Just think of a notable event in your life in the past 6 to 12 months. It can be something that was very difficult for you as well, okay? And I want you to write down, why was it notable for you? Any of you need paper or pen? Prefer to have? We will give it to you. No? Yeah, okay? Okay. So why was it notable to you? So you can take some time to write that down. Okay. Okay. So why was it notable to you? I'll take you through the next question. What feelings and thoughts did you or do you have about the event? What feelings and thoughts have had arisen for you about the event? Okay, take some time to write that down. Okay. Perhaps you were happy, sad, hurt. Perhaps you were struggling. And I know it's not easy sometimes to allow some of these feelings and thoughts to come up. Because sometimes it's a difficult event and a situation that you're thinking of. And the reason we are asking you to think about that is also because I'm going to take you into this question, which is, how do you think God is using this event to move you into a new direction? So whatever it was that came to your mind when I said a notable event that happened to you in the past 6 to 12 months, it happened perhaps for a reason. I don't know. I don't have any pat answers for it. But the one thing I know is that God uses the many events in our lives to spur us on, to challenge us, to sometimes set us on a new direction. And so my question for you is, how do you think God is using this event to move you into a new direction? And as you think about that, I want to ask you this. How are you responding to God's invitation? Whatever God is placing in your heart, whatever new direction that God seems to be slowly leading you towards, maybe pressing you on, maybe prodding you, how are you responding to God's invitation? Do you feel ready? Sometimes some of us are not ready for change. It's very common for us to be resistant in some way because change is hard. Doing new things is hard. What would help you to be less resistant and more ready? What would help you to be in that space where you're more willing and ready to say, God, I know you're showing me this. I want to follow. I want to do something different. And then we end with this last question. When we were coming up with the questions, Matt and I was telling him, you know, in coaching, right, we will tend to funnel questions from the big picture and the broad into something narrow. Because you want to end up with something that people have the ability to do something about, right? Because we can have a lot of conceptual stuff, like, oh yes, God did this. Yeah, maybe it's moving me in this direction, but I'm a bit resistant. Yeah, it's a bit of a struggle. But then if we don't funnel it into something tangible, just one small thing, we may walk out of here just saying, well, okay, good concept lah. But what is one small thing that you would do differently as a result of God showing you? Whatever that God is showing you about that event that happened, about how you felt and the thoughts that arose for you, about the new direction that God may be challenging you towards. What is one small thing you would do differently as a result of what God is showing you? At this point at the retreat, we will break up into groups and share with the groups, right, what we are comfortable to share, okay? Like, sometimes some of it is a very personal event, something that really, you know, is very raw, difficult, so people can just pass. But we broke up into groups, and then people would share with their groups. And some of the sharings were very deep, very vulnerable. But don't worry, I'm not going to do that to you today. I know that when you stepped into this service, you did not expect that we're going to break up into groups and share in groups, right? But what I want to invite you to do is to sit with what you have reflected on. And if you had time to write out, that's great. If you didn't have time to really write it out, I invite you to take some time to just kind of put it down, right, at some point today. And find someone to share this with. Could be your spouse or your partner. Could be your cell group. Could be a friend. Say, hey, you know, we did this exercise today in church. Can I just share this with you? Because sometimes as we are sharing something, as we're expressing it out and talking through it, things become clearer. You know, and people around us, especially those we're close to, they're very good at giving input. So, especially, what is one small thing you could do differently? I'm sure your partner will have a lot to say. Actually, I got 10 small things you can do differently. You know, whatever. But whichever, that's a joke. Please don't go and do that to each other. But what I want to, the spirit of it is that I want to invite you to take some time to share this with someone that you trust, and to let them witness what is going on in your life. You know, what is the thing that God is doing in your life and that God is challenging you to move in a different direction in? Okay, what's the new thing that God is doing in you? Okay. Will you join me in prayer as we commit all of our lives, our stories, all the new things that God is doing into God's hands? Loving God, our dear Father and Mother, our loving parent, who created and formed us from the beginning of time. Lord, you are watching us even as we were conceived in our mother's womb, according to Psalm 139. And you tenderly and wonderfully knitted us together, knowing all the plans that you had for each one of us, all the hopes you had for us. And because of that, Lord, we choose to trust in you, to lean on you, and to say that whatever the notable events that have happened in our lives, the difficult things, the wonderful things, the life-changing things, things that we cannot make sense of sometimes and have no answers to, God, we want to say, we lean on you. We trust in you. And for those of us who are at a point of our lives where we may be struggling, afraid, uncertain about what the future holds, perhaps we are like the disciples in the upper room, worried, fearful, uncertain. Will you allow a fresh wind of your Holy Spirit to blow into our lives, to revive our spirits and our souls, to bring us into a new thing, the new space that God, you are leading us to? Grant us your wisdom so we can understand what the way ahead looks like. But even more, when we don't have all of the understanding, help us in our faith, that we may trust and rest in you and in all that you're doing. And so, God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for one another, that we can journey through this together. And as we commit our hearts, our lives to you, we pray that you'll guide us and lead us in the power of your Spirit. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.